In life, you can either choose to be a speedboat or a sailboat. And a speedboat knows their final destination, and all they're doing is racing through the water to get to where they want to be. But a sailboat kind of just goes where the wind takes them. As an opportunity arises, they stop at that island, and maybe they chill there for a little bit. And I feel like I like want to live my life like a sailboat.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 76, like the gas station, of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Mason.
And I'm Payman.
And today we have a conversation with TikToker Anna Sitar. I talked to her a few weeks ago. It was great. I mean, I feel like we've had a few of these people on the show nowadays, and I think they all have really different stories and journeys of how they came to being full-time content creators. I didn't even know this before she came on, but Anna's from Michigan. So we had a lot to chop it up on there, and she has a degree in mechanical engineering, a lot of things that on paper came out here to LMU to study film and TV, a lot of things on paper that you wouldn't really correlate with her now making 5 TikToks a day for a living. But it was super cool how she just kind of fell into it, like we've seen with most of these people, be it Noah Beck playing soccer and making videos, or her just, you know, fucking around making videos during COVID, and it can turn into legitimate careers and futures for these people. And I think that's always super, super interesting. If there's ever been a guest who's a living embodiment of a local optimist, I think that she is really that, in terms of how much she really practices positivity and optimism in her life. Had a lot of great allegories of just, you know, how she goes about her life and the mindset and attitude that she chooses to tackle every day with. I got to meet her boyfriend, who was a dope dude. He pulled up to the studio too, also from Michigan, does some content creation and is hoping to be a sports announcer as well. So it was nice to chop it up with him. And yeah, super, super nice episode. Excited for you guys to listen to it. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Anna Sitar. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You were just telling me that you were feeling a little bit anxious on your way here.
I know. It was funny. When we were driving up, I was thinking, I have not really done a podcast before, so yeah. I could feel a little bit of stress, a little bit of anxiety, but all, you know, you kind of channel into excitement at some point.
Yeah, so. Exactly. What does anxiety feel like for you?
I feel like it's just similar to nervousness. I think that's probably why it often gets confused, or I can like fool my brain into believing it's excitement or nervousness. But yeah, it's usually just like little heart flutters, you know, like my heart just gets a little excited.
I mean, that's good that you're even able to like recognize it and like name it that, and then be able to, you know, go through whatever process you do to like channel it into something more like positive is cool.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of learned that like in sports. I feel like my coaches always made us do that. Like when I was in high school, when you'd get nervous before a competition or before a race, they'd be like, oh, that's not anxiety, that's excitement. And you're like, oh, okay. And it makes it sound a lot less scary. You're not actually scared.
What, were you a big athlete growing up?
I swam, which I feel like is like one of those like untalked about sports. But yeah, I really loved it. I swam a little bit in college too, but I had an injury after my first year, so I didn't swim anymore.
How old were you when you started?
I started my freshman year of high school, so I was kind of a late bloomer.
Yeah.
But like I did dance and a lot more like rhythmic stuff growing up, and then once I got to high school, all my friends were swimming, so I was like, oh, I'll do what all my friends are doing.
Yeah, and you feel like that really shaped your, like, maybe, like, mental fortitude or kind of, like, outlook on, like, pushing through things in a way?
Yeah, I think that it might have curated my competitive side a little bit, and I think it kind of taught me early on, like, the value of, like, movement and body and, like, using that as, like, a mental health avenue a little bit. I love swimming because in a way, it's kind of like a safe space to be in the water. You don't hear anything, and you can just kind of be in your mind a little bit. And that's like one of the best parts about being competitive in that sport is like you can't hear the crowd when you're swimming, which I'm sure for a lot of sports you block it out, but you like physically can't hear anything except for like what's going on in your own mind. So,
yeah, that's super cool. I think it like we kind of go through a phase of like when we're a little kid and we're just running around and being all crazy and it feels so good, but we don't really have like the mental capacity to understand that that physical movement is making us feel good. And then the kids who continue to like play sports, I think also we don't really talk about mental health that much in high school, but then in hindsight you're like, wow, like waking up early and practicing and moving my body and sweating and releasing all these endorphins and all these things was actually contributing to like me feeling pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Anyways, How would you like describe what you do, or like if someone asked you to like introduce yourself, like what would you say?
It's a complicated question. I think a lot of people in like the creator social media space would say that. I just say that I'm a content creator on social media. And the follow-up question is normally like, for who? And then it's always awkward when you're like, for myself. But yeah, just usually content creator is what I go by.
That feels right.
Yeah, it's like a nice little, it's a nice little umbrella. It's a little bit anonymous, a little bit known, yeah. So.
Whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And how did you end up doing that?
That's a complicated story because I never know how early to start. When I was a kid, I always liked making videos, you know, so like I took photos, did videos like.
And this is like what era? Like, are we talking like like on like an early iPhone like, or I like is this like a flip phone, a video or like what?
I got like a little camcorder for Christmas in like fourth grade. And I would say like that was Anna's.
Like handheld, like.
Like I'm talking like flat with like the one record button on the front. Like
Little
what baby
was that?
Camera.
What was that thing
called? Aren't they kind of cool? Like,
yeah, were, like you. It flipped out or something?
Yeah, like I'm sure my dad found it at Sam's Club. Like, but it was great. So I got one of those and I would take my family. My parents were always really big into like capturing everything from my childhood. So we have files and files of family videos from vacations and trips and camping. And I grew up in the Midwest. So like every weekend you went on the boat and I have so many videos of that. And I would, growing up, take the videos and put them into like montages of what my life looked like. But I didn't really find like my passion in social media until I had actually moved out to LA and I was starting grad school. So much later, I was like making videos all through my childhood and didn't really know that that was an avenue I could pursue. And then I came to grad school and I started making videos on TikTok. And suddenly, you know, one video did well and I started like kind of grow this little community. And it was really just like an avenue for me to feel like I could express myself. I was in a new city. I didn't know anybody. I was alone. And I kind of just like found this great, almost like a journal through videos that I could make through TikTok.
What were you studying at grad school?
So I have my master's in film and television production, but
Fire.
My undergrad is in mechanical engineering.
Whoa.
Wild. So
were you always super passionate about film?
I actually think I found like the love for videography and like filmmaking. I loved movies and I love storytelling.
Same.
And I had this job when I was in engineering at a medical technology company, and they asked if any of the interns knew how to use Premiere Pro because their marketing team had to make videos to explain to their sales reps how the technology worked. So I was an engineer and I was like, hey, I also work on it, so like I can explain it really well in like a nice layman's terms way. And I started making videos and the marketing team loved them, so I was working like two jobs. I was a design intern for engineering and then a marketing intern for video making, and it was great. I loved it. And so in that moment, I was like, you know, I kind of enjoy this marketing stuff a little more than I like my engineering work. Maybe if I go back to school, like if I don't like it, I can always go back to engineering, but I might as well like take a shot in the dark. And there was only one school in the top 10 in the country that accepted students who didn't have an undergrad in film. And that was LMU here in LA. So
wow.
I applied just kind of like with no background, no knowledge,
yeah.
On a whim. Like I felt very out of my element when I first got there, and I felt like every student knew like cult classic films, and like they'd watched like the, you know, Mulholland Drive and like these films that were like innovative to the film industry. And I was like, I really love Tangled. New Girl is my jam. Like I was very modern, like films that everybody knows. So
yeah.
I felt a little out of place, and
yeah.
But it was good. It was great. And it gave me the chance to kind of like explore that love for film more.
Totally. And then as you're starting the program at LMU and starting to make videos, like, is that when you sort of got the idea, like they were fusing into each other, or like this, the videos was still just a side hobby and you're like, I want to get this degree.
Yeah. I was almost using TikTok at one point where I could kind of like test out concepts that I was thinking for videos and see how they performed. Cause if, you know, my friends on TikTok love them, then there's a chance maybe my professors would love them. Or if I had like an idea for a way that I could transition a video in like real media, it could play its way back to like running those like drafts on TikTok. So I feel like they interchanged a little bit, but for the most part, like TikTok kind of felt like an outlet and like a journal and like a way to kind of keep track of what I was going through or like what my life felt like as I was going through grad school.
Yeah, I think something that's interesting to me is like when any creative journey or art, when you start doing it, there's obviously no expectations and you're just doing it for yourself and you don't have to take it too seriously and all these things. I think about even when we started Mad Happy, just like the fun that we were having in the beginning, or there's no stakes, you have no investors, you can do whatever you want, obviously. And then as you continue to grow and like build a business or a brand or like a fan base, there becomes some sort of like obligation or expectation. And that can, for me at least at times, like taken a lot of the fun or like creativity out of it. How has your relationship like with your content kind of changed as you've grown?
Yeah, that's such a good question. At first, it's funny because I feel like now I can look back on the times to before it felt like you like had like this obligation to post.
Yeah.
And I was like, I used to think like nothing of it in like the best, worst way.
Yeah,
like
you'd
I would
never
just be
think
like,
twice.
It didn't matter. Like whatever I made was like what I was thinking about and I never checked it. I didn't even like watch analytics. I didn't watch anything. There's this like switch that flips a little bit that adds like that extra element of stress at times where like it's your career. Like I graduated in May. So I've been doing social media now full time for 6 months where like, and I feel like it's been an adjustment period. And it's kind of been during that 6 months that I've had like trying to have like revelations, like, who am I? Like that post-grad worry. And then on top of that, having this career where, you know, it's not conventional and it's not as stable as maybe some other careers might be. And you almost have to think like, how do I make this last? Like, where is my longevity? And like, how do I make myself like still know that I'm doing what I love because that's what I wanted to do in the first place? Like I was so fortunate that like social media became an avenue even possible for me while I was in grad school. I would have never thought, like I thought I was going to graduate and you hear about the struggles that everybody goes through when they graduate from a master's in film. And it's like, oh, I assisted, like I was an assistant for a long time. And then, you know, like I tried to get into a writing room, but I was
on this show.
Yeah, exactly. I like, you know, held the cameraman's water for a little bit. Like, and so that's like, what's really stressful is I was worried about that first. And then when I had social media, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. I'm making money during grad school. I'm like setting up for success. And then you kind of have that like post-grad where you're like, oh my gosh, like this is like, this is the thing I'm doing. Like I get to do this forever, which is incredible, but also incredibly stressful.
Yeah. So did you not really blow up until you graduated, or was it happening a little bit before? Like when did that flip switch for you that you were talking about of like when you made the conscious decision of like, I'm going to do this full time?
So I had like my kind of like a really crazy growth period during 2020. So during the pandemic, I think that's like when a lot of creators, like I had like 50K on TikTok when like it was like the start of 2020. And by the end of 2020, I had 8 million friends. And I was like, what the heck? And it was like, that was for me a moment. I was still like managing myself. I didn't have like a digital talent agency.
No team.
I didn't have any team. It was Anna on the other side of the computer when people were like, hey, would you do a brand deal? I was like, oh my gosh, you thought of me? And so I think this switch flipped where it felt a little bit more like it could be a potential career path is like I ended up signing to a digital talent agency. I'm with UTA.
Mm-hmm.
And like kind of started to like surround myself with people who were like, started to like schedule me and stuff. And we're like, hey, Anna, here's this. Tell us what you want to do. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm telling people what I want to do. Like, this is wild.
Mm-hmm.
It lifted a lot of load of like worry for me, but I feel like that's where it kind of like had that little bit of a switch. And I kind of felt like I got the chance to really do this for full time.
Yeah. And being a couple years removed from that now, what sort of effect do you feel like that 2020 period had on like your mental health? Like, did you get a like inflated ego, or were you now like taking this shit way more seriously, or like feeling more stressed or pressure? Like, how did that sort of manifest for you?
I don't think it like hit me until later. Yeah. It's during the pandemic, we spent all of our time alone. So I wasn't really thinking much. Like, I had always kind of had this like feeling of not belonging and kind of like, I have a lot of weird talents. Okay. If I'm going to put this in a nutshell, like I ride a unicycle and I like juggle. And I swim, and like that's a weird talent.
Swimming's not that weird.
I don't know. The butterfly's a little weird, but like it's all these like kind of random talents that I've accumulated over the years. Like, and I always kind of felt out of place. And so when I started growing on social media, it was like kind of this interesting like first moment of feeling like belonging, because there was somebody on the other side of the phone who was like, "Oh my gosh, I feel this way too." And I was like, "There's no way. Like there's this many people that feel this way that I feel." Where like, I can finally express myself. And somehow, like during my growth, a lot of time, like I didn't have, I think a lot of Christians struggle with like judgment. Like you're going to have hate comments, don't get me wrong. But like I somehow like had these people who felt what I felt, and I didn't feel judged for like the way that I was. And so I think like it was less of like ego or like, you know, kind of being like, oh my gosh, I'm so cool, I'm the hottest thing since sliced bread. It was like, it almost gave me confidence to be like, I'm me, and that's awesome. And like, that's so fun. And I wanted to like keep sharing that emotion that like,
yeah,
I feel this way because of you. And like, I hope that you feel this way because of me. And like, this is transactional to me. Like, you make guy like my community makes me feel so good about all the weird things that I do that I wanted them to feel as good as I was feeling on the other side of the phone.
Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about is so beautiful in terms of the mental health landscape of, we think that we're so isolated and so alone in our experience and our feelings. And like, even growing up for me, like I struggled a lot with anxiety and depression. And like, I just kept telling myself this narrative in my head of like, you're so misunderstood, or like, there's no one else like you in the world. Like, how could anyone else like relate to you? Or like the same thing that you're saying, I do all these weird things that no one else does. Like, no one understands me. And we're all so similar at the end of the day. We're all human beings that can only feel the same like range of emotions, that as soon as you show vulnerability and open up, even in the slightest way, it's like, oh my God, everyone else feels this way too. And like that's the real power of like what we're trying to do at Mad Happy and have conversations like this, is like, if we all just like expressed ourselves a little bit more, like we'd be shocked at how much everybody has in common and can relate to these feelings and these experiences. And like, we can feel way less alone, which is like really powerful. And like, that's awesome that you kind of open up and express yourself that way on the platform.
Yeah. And I feel like as I grew older, I started to realize that too, where it's like, is similar. Like when I had these like emotions as a kid, which I don't think when you're younger, you really have a name for it, you know, and it comes off as it's stress, it's excitement. Like, you don't really know if it's anxiety. It's interesting that like, as you get older, you can like talk to your friends and you're like, oh my gosh, like my heart beats so fast when this happens. I don't know what's wrong. And they're like, dude, that's so normal. Like, yeah. That happens to a lot of people. Like,
what's
that's
wrong with me?
Not nothing. Weird. Yeah, like, you're actually very basic. So it's great to like kind of have that chance to like surround yourself and be vulnerable and be open. And then other people can see, you know, the same way that you have this epiphany that, you know, we're all kind of similar and alike.
Yeah. I want to talk about where you're from for a sec, just because we both have the Midwestern roots.
We love that mitten energy.
We love it. And I'm wondering for you how you feel like growing up in the Midwest, or those sort of like values and perspectives, then taking them out West and being famous or whatever, like having millions of followers.
Yeah.
Do you carry that with you, or like, how do you feel like that's been advantageous for you as opposed to maybe someone who grew up in LA or New York or something like that?
Yeah, I love being from the Midwest. I think I took for granted growing up in a small town. I've gotten like the chance since moving to LA to meet a lot of people who like grew up in a bigger city like LA or like other like Chicago or San Francisco. And I think that like having that like small Midwest energy does really keep you grounded, and you relate to people who like, you almost like are like attracted or like drawn to people who have a similar like upbringing. I think subconsciously, like, you're drawn to people who understand like the energy of being from the small town, who understand the energy of like, you know, knowing every single person or having a graduating class of like 200 people or something.
Maybe that's why you guys work so well.
Exactly. And I think that having a boyfriend from the Midwest is also great and keeps you grounded. It's so nice to like, I said this earlier, but I didn't think I would get the chance to go back to Michigan all that often because my parents moved out to LA before I even did. And when my boyfriend Brew and I started dating, it was so nice to like, I felt like I was going back home when I would go back to visit him. Like, even meeting his family and being around their energy, it's like, it's such a safe space.
Yeah.
And like, you kind of find that to be like a sacred area for you when like you live in a city. You kind of always have those like little areas, whether it's like your apartment that you decorate with all your stuff from Michigan, or whether it's like going back to the state physically, or, you know, like being around people who, like, a lot of our friends, funny enough, are from Michigan. Mm. And like, we didn't meet them till we were out here, but
yeah.
It's so nice to have like people who relate to you on knowing that area and that landscape.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, Michiganders in LA for
there
sure
is.
Especially in like the entertainment industry,
we're all just trying to escape the cold.
Yeah, I think for me it like it's been able to keep me very grounded. And like, even I moved to LA when I was 3 years old only, so I pretty much grew up here, but with both my parents being from Michigan and me going back there so many times a year, I think it just gave me a different perspective on like, this isn't LA isn't the only like reality that exists. And I think that like my parents really instilled in me just like a human element of like getting to know people and talking to people and like on a person to person level, and having nothing to do with where you live or what car you drive or like all these other things. And I think even as I grew up here, it's been really helpful for me to know that like there's just another world out there that exists and is a lot simpler and quieter and is like a nice quality of life that still has the basic principles that I care about of like, you know, love, family, working hard, having a purpose, all these things. And I'm always so grateful for the time that I get there. Like I was just telling you guys, I'm going back next weekend. But yeah, I feel like that's been like huge for me and like my development.
Yeah. It's so interesting that it's funny. People know when you're not from LA to in LA. Like I can't tell you the number of times I go to a grocery store and I just like ask the cashier how their day is going. And they're like, you're not from LA, are you? They're like, you're not from here. And I'm like, no, I'm not actually. But it's interesting because it's like the same way. Like my family is all from there. And I actually grew up with my mom is from Poland. So I grew up with like a dad from the Midwest. My mom's from Poland. So like the values of family are huge. And she kind of grew up in like a smaller town and didn't move out here till her 20s. But it's been so nice, like kind of having that, like all my siblings are Midwest feeling. Like, you know, like you do really have like this natural surrounding, even when you move away from that area, of people who have the same like morals and values.
How many siblings do you have?
I have an older sister and a younger brother.
Where are they at?
Older sister's in New York and younger brother is in like the Ventura area. So a little bit outside of LA. Yeah, he kind of lives close to my parents, which is nice.
Your whole family's a California family now.
California. My sister was in San Francisco for a long time too and just moved to New York. So we're missing her a little bit, but
I've always found it really interesting, like the duality of like people who make their careers on social media, of like being alone but having this huge community at the same time. I'm wondering, like, how do you think about that? Or like, do you always feel like you're surrounded by so many people? Like you were saying that, you know, I feel comfortable making these videos because I'm alone in my house. Does that feel lonely for you at all? Or do you feel like the presence of your community?
I feel like I definitely feel the presence of my community. And as I've like grown in social media, because now it's been like 2.5 years that I've been making TikToks and doing Instagram and all of like these different avenues, I've found so much like value in really appreciating the people around me. And like the people that I get to see every single day is a small circle, and they like keep me in a really good mental space. So that way, when I do get to be in front of the larger community, it keeps me like grounded and able to be like related and feeling good, like emotionally. And yeah, so like I like, you know, I think valuing alone time is important for anybody. I think I've like learned that more recently as I grew up, because I always liked, I'm an extrovert. I love being around people. Like even in my alone time, I'd be FaceTiming somebody a lot of the time growing up. So like I'm never actually alone. But in a way, like, yeah, making my videos, it's almost like you're talking to like only like one other person on the other side of the phone, because everybody's watching it individually. So it's kind of like that incredible experience where like you kind of do still have a friend, even though it's weird to like watch yourself make videos.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it, like the one-on-one connection.
Yeah.
I forget who we had on, but they were saying like, you know, each view is just like one person. Like I don't look at the million views, it's like, wow, like a million people just watch this. It's like one person watched this, another person watched this.
Yeah.
And I think that like creates the more sense of like intimacy and like a genuine connection.
Exactly what I was gonna say, like the intimacy of your phone, like you have like your most private things on your phone, and now like oh, there's my face, but like you have like this like person that you know, like you check in on and you feel like you're friends with. I don't really say followers, I always say like friends, because y'all know too much about my life to just be like a follower at this point,
right?
You know, like
right.
They like you're, you know, my yeah. You know, you're like you're in the circle, you're the best friend, you're like know my deepest darkest secrets. And it's kind of a beautiful thing to like have these people who just like understand your life.
Yeah.
I just had a flashback of the corn audio when I just said that. I was like, it's the most beautiful thing. Anyway,
when I was doing some research before this interview, there was like one headline of an article about you. It's like TikTok's like ray of positivity or something. And I was like, oh, like that's nice. Like we talk about optimism all the time, and like the power of positivity is like a big part of what we talk about at Mad Happy. And like obviously there's so much that's out of our control in life, but our mindset and, you know, how we choose to approach each day is something that we can control. I'm curious if that was conscious for you, or if you were just kind of being yourself and now I make this feel good content, or like what was the idea behind that, if there was one?
I think I've always been kind of positive.
Kinda.
Just a little bit. I've always been positive. I've always had this like, I've always been really high energy and very extrovert, like I said. So I feel like people read that as being like full of life and full of energy and full of like excitement. Now, whether that's like me coping with having too much energy, we'll never know, or like too many sips of coffee. But yeah, like I always was like glass half full, saw the world and always looked for the better in it. And I'm a little bit of an overthinker, but even in like high school or when like negative things happen, I just I think I want to genuinely believe that it's not for the worse, or that like people aren't mean, or like the world isn't against me, even though sometimes it might feel like it. I think like my brain just really early on tried to process it in a way. And I think it probably comes from my mom a little bit, because I believe that she thinks this way, that like, you know, if like the girls were mean in high school, it was just because like they were busy or having an off day, or like their boyfriend was mean. And it wasn't because like they think I'm annoying, you know? Kind of was because I thought it was annoying. But it's like, to me, it makes me feel better to just like almost just like believe that it's like, you know, what's meant to be will be. And I feel like I continued to adapt that as I grew, to like, you know, if something didn't work out, if I didn't get the job, it was just because like I wouldn't have liked it anyway. And it wasn't meant, like, it wasn't, you know, I just wasn't fit for it, and there was gonna be something better coming. And I do try to like instill that in my community a little bit, of being like, it might not be good now, but like what's happening now will pay off. And like, it might hurt right now, but there's going to be good things coming. And it's just kind of like that idea of hope, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great message. And like in a way, that's what like mad happy means. It's like, right, we'll go through these down times in life. They're inevitable, but like don't be embarrassed of them, or like don't be scared to talk about them. There's so much that we can learn from them. And like, it's not going to be like that forever, obviously. Like, you'll look back and you'll be grateful for that time because of what you learned or what you experienced from it.
Yeah. I feel like I like more recently, with kind of having that transition out of like grad school, you kind of are looking for like your purpose. You're looking for like, what is your career? What are you doing? Like, who do you want to be? And I'm so lucky that I get to like look at my life and ask myself that, you know, like that I'm not in a position where I'm like, I have to like do X, Y, Z before I can figure myself out. I'm like lucky that I graduated, and I'm like, listen, now is the time to like kind of like decide, like, you know, like, what do you want to stand for? Like, who do you want to become? And it's this crazy thing where like, it really does work out as it's meant to, like while you're trying to sort out life. Like, I mean, my schooling, my background, everything, it's like, I was just constantly following the thing that made me happy, like in each moment, whether it was like, you know, I loved med tech. I loved the idea of like working on, initially I was thinking about like prosthetics. That's why I went into mechanical engineering. I wanted to design prosthetics in hospitals. And then I worked at like one of the largest med tech companies, and it was incredible. But I found myself like kind of getting bored by the end of the 12-week internship. And I was like, I feel like that's not a good sign. So like, what makes me happy from here? And then I would do that next. And like, I was teaching. I was a substitute teacher in college. I don't know how they let me be in control of 30 students at 21. But like,
what grade?
Elementary. So like second to fifth grade was like my like golden
spot. What subjects were you teaching?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. I was a substitute teacher. So like they would call me and be like, hey, English needs you today and math needs you tomorrow. And I was like, okay, great. And I was doing college full time, getting my engineering degree. And I would just go in on Fridays or like half days when I had free from school. Don't know how I fit
that. The kids would see you walk in and be like, yes.
Okay. But I think about it now that like, what was this? Probably 5 years ago now. So like, anybody who is in like fifth grade is now in 10th grade. You could be watching my TikToks and you had me as a sub and you don't even know it.
You think that they would have forgotten?
I mean, maybe. I don't know that I'm that memorable like when I was a teacher. I think I was a pushover, which is why I don't think teaching would have worked for me. Yeah. But
you're just playing movies every class.
I was more of just like, they'd be like, no, I want to eat my snack now. And I'm like, okay.
Tangled again.
Honestly, I would turn that on multiple times. There's great lessons in that film. I can give you a full synopsis from my degree. Like, that's the one thing I learned in school, was like how to give a synopsis on a film. And that's one that I would totally go hard into. But it's funny because like I had these random passions. Like, I wanted to teach and I wanted to know what it was like to be an elementary school teacher. So I got my teaching credential and substitute taught in college. And then I loved film and marketing. And so like I went back to school, and like, you just kind of have to keep choosing in life what makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, like it's cheesy to say that, but if you're not happy, you're not really like living all that great of a life. Or like, for sure you're going to have bad days, but you need to be like constantly in pursuit of finding something that like makes you feel at peace and makes you feel full.
Yeah.
And the thing will come, and you'll find it by accident, most likely, by doing the things that you love in between.
I feel like there's like an unfair stereotype of creators that, you know, maybe they're not the smartest people, or their lives aren't hard, or like everything is so easy. And I think we've had a few on the show, and like talking to you, I'm like pleasantly surprised by just how like ambitious and intellectual you are, and engineering and teaching and all these things. Do you feel like you're still like satisfying like the curiosity and like those parts of what you want to do now that you're a full-time content creator? Or like, have you just like followed what makes you happy, like you said?
Yeah, content definitely makes me happy. So like, it's nice that is like that's my foundation right now. I feel like school was my foundation before, and then I got to do content on top of it. And then now that school is gone, content's my foundation.
Because you seem like both like very right and left brained, honestly.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. But I am. I like sometimes get embarrassed. Talk about like, this isn't like not an embarrassing class. Nobody knows I'm doing this right now, but I'll tell you guys I'm doing this. I'm like taking acting classes because I kind of miss school a little bit and I've always wanted to learn. Like it's, I'm already in the film industry with having a directing writing focus from my master's, but like I'm in front of the phone all day long and like I do these audios and I was kind of like, why not perfect that craft? Like that's kind of cool. Like I pretend like I know what I'm doing when I'm acting. I might as well like learn like what's method, like what's comedy. Yeah. And so even then, like, I don't know, I think I lasted like 4 months not going to school and I was like, oh, I kind of miss school. Like I kind of miss like that, like learning. And I feel like you can learn through so many things. Like I was not a reader. I just started reading. I mean, they're like, you know, Colleen Hoover books. So they're just like really lovey-dovey. But like I fell in love with reading now. So like I try to read like a book a week, honestly. And it's like, it's great.
That's
to
a lot.
Like, oh, you zoom through her books though. They're like, you get invested. And like, I'm like on the treadmill walking, like reading her books at the gym. I'm very embarrassing. But it's great to like, you know, it's still following the things that I love, but like, I feel like you can never stop learning. And I really enjoy that.
Yeah. That curiosity I think is so important. And a lot of people like, for me, even when like Mad Happy started getting popular, I think there was a phase where I was like, all right, like time to coast a little bit. Or like I did the thing, like I checked the box. Now I'm kind of chilling. And I think that a lot of people think that like, you know, once I get this salary or once I get this, then like I'll be good and I can just coast. But I think it's really refreshing to hear you say like, you know, you're so curious and passionate about learning that like, even though you've built a great career here and are like starting to do whatever, like I still want to be stimulating myself in these other ways.
Absolutely. And like I said, like the word passions, like I love, like I learned how to I taught myself how to unicycle. I'm sure there's gonna be something that comes up in a couple weeks. Like
you should have wrote it in.
Oh my gosh, you don't. I wouldn't get off it. It's so much fun. Like, I don't think people realize how fun it is, but...
Is it hard to learn?
It's like riding a bike, you know? It's like you...
Seems way harder.
It is way harder, but it's like, you just kind of got to like commit and be afraid, like not be afraid if you're going to scrape your knees a couple times. It took me like 2 weeks in my basement to like learn how to go in like 10 feet, you know? And I was like riding on carpet intentionally so that if I fell, I didn't eat it, like, or knock all my teeth out.
One thing about the Midwest that's not out here... Basements.
Also, there was snow outside because I got it for Christmas because Santa Claus brought it, an icon.
Thanks, Santa.
Thank you, Santa. And I can like remember very vividly my mom pulling me to the side. And I think this is why I wanted to ride it so bad, is my mom kind of like brought me to her room maybe like 30 minutes after I got it. And I was like putting it together. She was like, Anna, I just want to let you know that if it doesn't work out, you can return it. And like, it's okay. Like, it's like they knew I was going to be weird. And they were like, if this isn't your personality
trait,
it's
okay. That's all she had to say.
And you know what I thought? I'm going to prove her wrong. I'm going to ride this unicycle all the way to college. And you know what? I did ride on my college campus. When Yik Yak was a thing, I was popping on Yik Yak.
You were
Yik
that
Yak.
Girl.
I was that girl. People
unicycle
were like,
girl just went through the
Jimmy John's. You know that's what they
call
me.
Jones, yeah.
The drive-through, exactly, on my unicycle. So
can you juggle on the unicycle?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
You're a clown.
It's not the first time I've heard it. No. But yeah. People always ask me why I didn't go to clown school, but...
That's not too late.
It's not too late. I love learning, so...
Yeah.
Could be next. I feel like I'm missing, like, there's, like, the trinity. It's, like, juggling, unicycling, magic. I'm missing the magic. I gotta get a card trick or something.
Have you ever been to the Magic Castle in L.A.?
No, but I have a friend who's told me a lot about it, and I'm intrigued.
You gotta check that out.
I know.
It's a super cool place.
If we have to be careful, though. If we encourage this, I will learn magic.
Magic's cool.
We're gonna be in deep.
How do you think about like the future, or like, I think it's really interesting to think about like the lifespan of all these different creators, or it's such a saturated place and you know, the biggest people like the D'Amelios, like now they got this Hulu show, or like, you know, there's ground being laid of like what this can turn into. How do you think about the future for you of like what you want to spin it into, or how long it might last, or things like that?
I think a lot that it kind of depends on how you want to spread yourself and who you want your brand to be. Yeah. I think like a lot of creators, this is like kind of where the acting class came into. Like once I got out of grad school, you kind of have like a couple options, you know, where like a lot of creators have done it before, which is kind of nice. You can be inspired by where other creators that you are interested in or you really enjoy, like you see where they go.
What are those few options? Just so I know.
Like acting, or like start a podcast, or like maybe dive deeper into YouTube,
make music.
Like a lot of creators like did the music avenue. Absolutely. So like you kind of have these like little pivotal things, and then it becomes this great thing where like, let's say you wanted to go into like the acting phase. Well, then maybe you'd go into movies, and then maybe you're not known for TikTok anymore. Maybe you like get a huge role in a movie or like a TV show. Or like for me, I wanted to like learn acting better to like not only benefit my TikTok, but like maybe benefit my writing, like as a directing writing focus. Like, so maybe eventually I can go into acting, and then while I'm taking my acting classes, I develop a TV show and I try to sell the TV show. And then I, you know, get to be the showrunner for these shows on Netflix or for, you know, something else. I think the future is scary a little bit because I would have never imagined that like Anna 3 years ago would be seeing where I am now. So it's kind of like the so unknown that I use this analogy all the time. I'm so thankful a friend told this analogy to me because it's the best thing to make your mind not be worried all the time about like what does the future have to hold. And it's that in life you can either choose to be a speedboat or a sailboat. And a speedboat knows their final destination, and all they're doing is racing through the water to get to where they want to be. But a sailboat kind of just goes where the wind takes them. As an opportunity arises, they stop at that island, and maybe they chill there for a little bit, and then they get back on their boat, and they go to their next thing. And I feel like I like want to live my life like a sailboat. Like, it's not that I know exactly where I want to be in the next like 5 or 10, or I have like my 30-year plan like locked in. It's that like I want to enjoy the journey of like getting to all those different like pillars and, you know, points in life. And like kind of as they arrive, it's like the follow what you love. It's the like do what makes you happy. And I mean, sure, there's probably like little things like, you know, that you hope to hit with a sail. Like, you know, I want to get there right now. But yeah, I feel like the sailboat analogy just kind of makes it feel like a little more fluid and like makes life a little more exciting that you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful analogy. And I think everyone could learn a lot by trying to be a sailboat a little bit more. It's like we're so focused on just getting there and getting something and think that like at our destination is where we'll receive it all. But I think the real like beauty in that is like we learn and we grow and all these things, those happen along the way. And then when you get there, like you said, it's all really about the journey. And like that's where we gain all this experience and insight and learn these things about ourselves. And I think we're so focused in society now and just like right now, like I want my food here right now. I want a car to come pick me up right now. It's all so like instant that we lose our patience. But I think there's something so beautiful in just like taking things very slow. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like the tortoise and the hare. Like,
exactly.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like you don't know like what your decision today is going to do for you tomorrow, but like it's going to do something. Everything you do, like each day matters. And I think like oftentimes we forget that like even those little decisions, like take better care of yourself, even like doing the laundry today is going to benefit you tomorrow. You know,
yeah,
like those little
decisions
silly,
you do. But it adds up.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you really care about your mental health today? Like what is your support system or like routines look like when you check in with yourself, or what sort of practices do you put in place, or what does that look like?
I sometimes wish that I was better now. I think I used to be better at taking care of my mental health.
What changed, you think?
I feel busier than I used to. And I think I used to value it more. I think like, not that my values changed, but I used to like, I think this kind of comes with like as your life evolves. I think like when I was best in my mental health was when I was like, it was during COVID. I was living at home with my mom and dad. I didn't have any, because like grad school was like, we're doing everything online. Everybody go home. Like no one live here. So I moved back with my parents, which I hadn't lived with them for 5 years. Like that was, you know, like a growing pain within self, being like the last time I lived with them, I was like 17, and now I'm 22. So
was that like humbling, or were you embarrassed, or like what was it?
It wasn't embarrassing. I think it was just like tough because they treated me like I was 17, you know, and like they just didn't see me like an adult. And I was like, you guys, I've lived a whole life already. Like, you don't know who you're talking to. I'm grown. I'm a woman. But so I think like I took my best care of myself then, though, because I almost had other people to help me take care of myself.
Like support system.
A support system. Yeah. Like my relationship had never been better with my parents. As much as it was like a struggle, maybe for the first 3 months of that, it was like we kind of like worked out any kinks, and then like we were great. Like I could tell my mom and dad anything and everything. Like I could complain about whether it was like social media, whether it was like dating, whether it was, you know, anything. I could tell my mom and dad. And in that, like it made me feel like I kind of like, you know, get out any emotions that I had. And I had like, my mom was there to like make dinner at night. Like she kind of like took, she was empty nesting, and then everybody moved home. So she loved it because everybody was back home, and she was like, ah, motherly duties.
Yeah,
and
I'm back.
I know, she's like, I'm alive again. So I like had somebody to like help me cook dinner at night. And like, you know, she would like help with the laundry and like, even though I'm an adult, it was like nice because she just wanted to be like, she was excited to kind of get that time that she had lost. Because I also went to Michigan, went to school in Michigan. I went to Western Michigan University. So I lived 2,000 miles from home the last 4 years. And I saw my parents once or twice a year. So like, we were kind of making up for this lost time. And in that, I was able to take a lot better care of myself. I was able to like do my own spa nights and like put on my eye mask and sleep in when I needed it. And then now I live by myself in a condo in LA, and like, you know, you kind of like have these different things. Like, I have a boyfriend and I would love to spend time with my boyfriend. So like, you know, like I want to go over there and be with him. And then like during the day I'm working, I'm in meetings, I have to make my content. I'm, you know, trying to prep for the future. And like, I take my acting classes 4 hours twice a week. So like, that's pretty like time consuming. And in all those things, like I end up forgetting a little bit to like do an eye mask and to like put on my pimple patch and like drink a cup of tea, because I feel like I'm a little bit of like go, go, going. And I catch myself in that rhythm where I'm like, oh, I know that if I like do this for too long, it's going to make me burned out. But then you also like live with this underlying fear that you're never working as hard as everybody else. You got to keep working harder. So I think for like right now, I'm like trying to find that rhythm and like that balance and that like peace for myself where, you know, I do take days off of my phone and I like take vacations to go and do something that I love, that like I'm not checking in 24/7 to social media, and I'm doing my face masks and good showers and eucalyptus oils in my diffuser and stuff. So
yeah, for me, it's like the word that comes to mind is justification. Like I'll just like ebb and flow of like, oh, I'm so in it for these few weeks, I'm locked in, and then, oh, we're opening a pop-up in New York and we have a Yankees collaboration and I'm too busy. Like I'll justify anything as like why it's not a good time. And I forget who told me this, but there's like a story about the Dalai Lama, like where he meditates for 2 hours every single day, and on days where he's so busy and has no time to meditate, he meditates for 4 hours. And I'm like, that's tight.
That's, yeah, that's a dream. That's the dream. I know, but you think about that like it's good to take care of yourself. Like you're all you have, you know, at the end of the day. Like if you don't take care of the engine that's running everything, you're not going to do very well, you know.
When you were just talking about like running to meetings and acting class or whatever, like I got curious about your schedule. Like what does just like an average day look like for like a content creator? Because in my mind it's like so loose and like not structured at all, but it seems like you have a bit more structure to your life.
Yeah, I feel like I've like created my own structure a little bit. I always try to do meetings and like event stuff in the morning, like 11 a.m. for like a podcast is a great time, because then it's like you wake up and you come and you get this done. And then that way you kind of have like the afternoon to do content and things like that. My days vary quite a bit, and I feel like I've been traveling a lot lately where I've been missing my schedule. But when I'm home, I normally try to get like all my meetings done by 1 or 2 p.m. So I'll have like, whether it's a call with a brand, if it's a podcast, if it's like prep or work, or like scheduling out like when content goes live or anything, or like meetings with my team, try to get that all done by like 1 to 2 p.m. And I'm like, I'm working on waking up earlier. That's like my like resolution for like my mid-year resolution, you know.
What time's the alarm right now?
All week was like 7:30. I think it's like pretty good.
That's good.
That's like pretty good.
You want to be earlier than that?
I'm content right now with 7:30. That was like, I'm on Eastern time zone right now because of being in New York. It was normally like 9:30. And like, you wake up, you have your cup of coffee, you watch a little TV.
Before you know it, it's
11. And then you're like, holy crap, I have 2 hours to get all my meetings done, like all my work done. So, and I try to get done by 2 because then I film content. And that's like the best lighting in my condo. So yeah, that's why like 2 o'clock is like the good time.
Shameless.
I know, you know, and you got to have it. But then content can take anywhere from like 2 hours to film to like 5 hours to film. So normally I wrap up around 6. If I have like this, if it's summertime, the sun is still out at 6, which is great in LA. So we'll try to squeeze in like a little adventure or a little dinner date, or we'll go rollerblading in Santa Monica. And then you chill and you have the night. And I've been trying to like really keep my nights off, because like I think it's good to like have that, like you work until 5 p.m. or whatever, and then you need to have like, you know, blue light goodbye for the evening.
Without giving away too many of your secrets, what's sort of your content strategy? Or like, are you thinking of something and just posting it, or do you keep a bank of 100 TikToks, or do you have to get it approved by so-and-so now, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so I love that my social media is fully my control. Like, that's kind of the best part. I don't really, like, have, nobody has to really tell me, like, you know, like, you can or can't post.
Is that common for most creators, or that's not common?
I think it's common that most creators have control, especially for TikTok. I feel like it's kind of like the Wild West a little.
Yeah. Like it's not going to work if it's like somebody else, or somebody, you're sending it for approvals or whatever.
Yeah. And even with like sponsored content, sometimes that's like something that's a little frustrating, is having somebody be like, oh, we want it to look like XYZ. And it's kind of like, you know your community the best. Like, I know what people are going to want to see, or what they like, or like what's popular. I'm like impulsive, I would say, for posting, because it's like one day I could have 2 TikToks, one day I could have 8 TikToks. And it's all just dependent on like, what does my day look like? What am I doing? What do I feel like filming when I go and do it? Like, it could be something like, I saw a TikTok of a girl trying a new eyelash mascara. Who knows? And then I like will film a TikTok of me going to the store and buying the mascara, going home and trying it. And that's like impulsive. Like, yeah, that day, like, you'll, I saw it,
think of that and go do it and post it. Yeah.
And then I do it. And I don't really stalk content. I like post it as soon as I do it, because I like the idea of it being real time. And I like the, like, you kind of feel like you're in my day with me a little bit. It's like vlogging without having to have like one continuous 10-minute video of what my day looked like. Yeah. So I like the accessibility and like how quickly it can come out.
Yeah. Is there anything that is like off limits for you, or that you won't share or talk about, obviously, as you like open up your personal life and stuff?
I feel like you kind of get this like little gut feeling a little bit when like something isn't right. Like, I for sure made videos where I'm like, did that say the message that I hope that that said, or did it not? You know, like, and sometimes there's also the weird thing of like, you try to be vulnerable and you're like, is this going to be misinterpreted, you know, as like, because I think that there is something tough with social media where people aren't as like trusting that like you're being real. And maybe like, I feel like since I also make content where like I'm being very, very honest about like how I'm feeling, and you know, people really only have like on social media like a small piece of what your puzzle looks like. So if you say like, I'm having the worst day, people are like, no, your life looks great, you're not having the worst day. And then that does make me a little self-conscious sometimes to post. Like,
do you worry about like saying the wrong thing?
I feel like as long as you're not hurting anybody, yeah, there's no wrong thing. You know, like, as long as I'm not, like, coming for somebody on the internet, I don't, like, and that's kind of, like, a huge brand of mine, is that I try not to speak negatively of anything, so.
Positive vibes only.
Positive vibes only. Yeah. And, like, I cannot like something, and everybody else can love it, and that's totally okay, you know? Or, like, I can, like, normally if I, like, do something that I'm, like, oh, that mascara was bad, since I don't, I will, like, say, like, not my favorite, I really like this one, or I'll just make a video about the one that I do like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, kind of cheesy, but. You know, I don't really like to bring attention to negativity, because there's so much of that on the internet. Everyone wants to talk like, you know, oh, like all these bad things happened. And like, I feel like recently maybe something that's like a little more sacred is like kind of like being in a relationship where like you're both on social media can be really difficult. Kind of keeping that a little more sacred. I love sharing like moments of our life or like photos or videos, but there's like so many things that the internet doesn't see that I kind of like that they don't know. And yeah, I think that's, like, a great thing. I went through, like, a breakup, and I shared a lot of, like, my experience, never about the person, but about, like, healing from it. And I actually really, like, enjoyed that, because it felt therapeutic to me.
Totally.
To share it. And knowing that, like, even now, it's been over almost 2 years now, and, like, I still will have, like, girls come to me and be like, I went through a breakup the same time you went through a breakup, and like it was incredible. And I was like, that, like, that's all I need to know. Like, I was like, that is so, like, that's all I need to know, is that like there's one girl out there who like kind of felt the same thing I was feeling, because I had never experienced that before. It was the first time I'd ever done that. And so,
well, it goes back to what you were saying about like validating your audience, and then it really like, or your friends,
yeah, your
and
friends.
Then it like really strengthens the bond and the community. And like, you obviously have a platform now where like you can really inspire and like influence people in a super positive way, which is cool.
Yeah, I love it. And so like, there's nothing that's really off limits, because you never know, like, life throws the weirdest things at you that, you know, you never know what you're gonna get. But I feel like I always know in my gut, like, if I'm like, this isn't saying what I want to say, I'll either remake the video or just like won't post it.
Yeah. Is it weird being in a like semi-public relationship, or thinking about like romanticizing like things for a video or like anything like that? I don't know. It seems like a little convoluted to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated, but it's like interesting, because we're very normal people, and yeah, I feel like sometimes people only know you from the internet. So like, sometimes the people don't seem real when they're from the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't seem like an actual person, and so
totally,
it's like interesting, because like, I feel like we do like very normal dating things, like we like get dinner together, like order Uber Eats, and we were like, oh my gosh, they live outside of the content. But it's, I mean, it's complicated, and it's not all at once, you know, and it's great to have somebody in the space with me where like, he gets it. Like, Brew's a gem. We all know this. And so it's kind of like, it's great because he understands what I do for work. And like,
it's a common understanding.
When I'm like having a bad day, he is like the first person who can talk me out of it because he's probably been there too.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like honestly such a blessing to have somebody who gets it.
That's amazing.
I'm watching him drink his water.
Not paying any attention.
No.
Well, we end every episode with the same two questions that I'll ask you. The first is, if you could nominate anyone to come on the show who's had a really positive impact on your life or has a really inspiring mental health journey that you've learned a lot from, who would it be?
Oh, that's such a good question.
You don't have to know them either.
I think you've had one person who I like, I really enjoy their content. I think you've had them before on the podcast. That's Emma Chamberlain. I think that she's great. Like, I think she's somebody to really admire too in terms of like authenticity on the app.
Totally agree.
And I feel like as another creator who like, you know, you kind of like sometimes come into content a little bit not expecting, you know, like what's going to come of it. It's incredible to see somebody who's still created a platform that feels so grounded and natural.
Yeah.
And like genuine, which is really, really incredible. And like I aspire to have that as well.
Yeah. I was so impressed by Emma. I think it was like only our second or third episode. It was still in COVID. And like she hopped on the Zoom just like in her pajamas and like and glasses. I was like, all right, like this girl's chill. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't care.
Nah, she's great. So yeah, that'd be, I mean, she's already been on the show, so I can't really nominate her, but I think
that's
she's
a good answer.
So
what's the friendship like with other creators, or like do you guys like lean on each other for like ideas or advice, or like is it more competitive?
Personally, I feel like I am just a very trusting person. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that has maybe done me dirty a couple times in the creator space, but I am a little bit of like a turn the other cheek type person. So like I'm kind of like an always there.
Yeah.
Even if it's like something I gotta work on.
Because it's kind of like it's like a sport. Like
it
you
is.
Guys
it's
are like, in the same league. You're like different teams.
But I also feel like I'm somebody who like there's enough to go around. You know what I mean? We're all different. We're all so original. We all have such important things to say that like I sometimes get frustrated when people treat it like it's a competition. Cause like I don't understand the reasoning for having like, oh, I need to like outperform like XYZ. It's kind of like, you keep doing your thing. I'll keep doing my thing.
Yeah.
Why don't we enjoy this together?
Like, this
is such there's a lot of people in the world. And this is such a surreal experience. It'd be so much easier if we could all enjoy it together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good answer. And lastly, what makes you mad happy?
What makes me mad happy? Honestly, a whole lot of things. The people who just make me feel like appreciated and grounded, all my community, all my friends on social media, my family makes me mad happy. Being here, waking up, the sunshine outside makes me mad happy.
Amazing.
Brew makes me mad happy. Look at that face. He knew it was coming. Kittens, puppies, sunflowers.
Nice. Definitely the most elaborate answer that
I'm
we've had.
I'm so sorry.
So far. Well, thank you so much for coming on and for doing what you do. Keep being positive and following what makes you happy.
I was honored to be here, so thank you for thinking of me.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to check out Anna on TikTok. Check out us on TikTok. Check out all our pages. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up the rest of the year. I know I told you guys last week, but pull up to LA, pull up to New York. Come say hi to us. We try and be there as much as we can. If you care about mental health, which if you're listening to this, you absolutely do, make sure you subscribe to Local Optimist Digest. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for being an ally. Thank you for caring about your mental health, other people's mental health. Stay med happy out there. Peace, y'all.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.